This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
And good evening, this is David Swanson at thepeoplespeakradio.net, and we have two terrific guests with us this evening, Ellen Taylor and Leslie Angeline, who are both activists with Code Pink Women for Peace, and who have been meeting with or planning to meet with and communicating with Chairman John Conyers of the House Judiciary Committee on the topic of impeachment. But before we get into that, and before I give out the number to get your calls, because we will want to hear questions from you, let's just introduce our guests. Maybe if you could each give me the 60-second version of your background, how you got to be an activist for peace or impeachment. Ellen, would you like to go first?
Sure. I was active very early on in the 70s. My attentions were, of course, captured by the Vietnam War, and I worked to try and bring the troops home from that debacle. I also worked in the People's Bicentennial Commission. That was an action around 1776 in trying to bring the principles of the Founding Fathers through to what was happening in our country today. And lately, I have been working with Code Pink Women for Peace. My first action with them was the International Women's Day March that was held in the run-up to the war. I was arrested in front of the White House with 23 other activists. And have been active with Code Pink since then.
So you've been with Code Pink as long as there's been a Code Pink?
Well, no, actually, Code Pink started the fall before. As you remember, from November through March, that day of International Women's Day, there was an ongoing vigil in front of the White House to bring attention to the war and the need for peace and the need to bring the troops home. So that was probably the first action, sustained action, that Code Pink undertook, was that vigil in front of the White House that ran from November through March, before the war even started.
And are you from the Washington, D.C. area, or are you there because Congress is there?
Well, interestingly enough, I actually worked for the federal government for 20 years. As a federal bureaucrat, I'm an environmental engineer by training. I was fortunate enough to take early retirement, actually not wanting to spend a lot more time than I already had in the Bush administration, and I have since then been a full-time activist.
Wonderful. It's good work. And Leslie, what's the quick background on where you come from?
Well, my father was an activist in the civil rights movement, so I grew up with the stories from those times, and my first actions were with against Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant. That was the first civil disobedience I did. And I've been a member with Code Pink since the Troops Home Fast 2 years ago, July, where I got very involved, and I've become a full-time activist since I returned from Iran, and I came to D.C. to lobby prevent another war from happening in Iran.
And could you tell us a little bit more, who was your dad?
My father was Ed Blankenheim, and he was one of the 13 freedom riders who rode the buses down in 1961, challenging the laws down there. The Supreme Court had ordered that interstate travel could not be segregated, but the Deep South was still refusing to obey those laws, and so they took two buses, a Greyhound and a Trailway, into the Deep South, and my father was on the first bus, or the bus that didn't make it to Birmingham. It was stopped in Anniston, Alabama, and firebombed.
And this is, of course, something that John Conyers would know a lot about, if not know specifically who your father was, correct?
Yes, he does, actually. I was in his office back in December, and I had photographs, and I was showing his staff trying to get an appointment back then, and he walked in, and so I said, oh, Congressman, you know, and I showed him the photographs, and he stopped, and he looked through them, and then he said, get this woman an appointment. I want to talk with her. And then it didn't happen because of the holidays, and he went back to Michigan. So
right.
I decided to return to D.C. after the holidays because of my great desire to start impeachment hearings.
And I know that you are both fasting now about the issue of impeachment, and I want to talk about that. But have you fasted? How many times have you fasted now? And Leslie, weren't you involved in a fast related to Senator Lieberman?
Yes, that was my first political fast. I went to Iran with my partner, Jess, back in May, and when I returned, I came to D.C., and just after I arrived, Lieberman went on Face the Nation and talked about military strikes against Iran, and I was horrified, and that night I decided I wouldn't eat until I got to meet with him. And it took 24 days, so that was the longest fast I've ever done. But after 24 days, I did eventually get a meeting with him, and it felt like his heart was touched. He was moved, and he was willing to allow an Iranian young man from Miles for Peace to join in the conversation. So we broke bread together, and I ended my fast then.
Ellen, is this your first fast, or have you fasted before?
No, I actually participated in the Troops Home Fast that Code Pink had sponsored last summer, and that was Leslie's, I think, introduction to Code Pink. But I actually did one full week of fasting, and then after that I went to one day a week because, as you remember, that was an 80-day fast. So, So this is actually, I think I'm today breaking my own record of 1 week of fasting.
80 days.
Yeah,
is pretty impressive.
That's right.
Yeah, Jody Evans did 80 days. I did, during the Troops Home Fast, 25 altogether, but I did it in two snippets. I did 15 and then 9.
It's incredible. I want to tell our listeners how they can get in on this conversation, and I want to start talking about what you're working on now. This is David Swanson at the PeopleSpeakRadio.net speaking with Leslie Angeline and Ellen Taylor of Code Pink Women for Peace. And you can call in worldwide. You can call in toll-free at 877-270-8714. That's 877-270-8714, or in the United States only, you can call toll-free 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. And so there's been a lot, actually, in a limited way in the news, in the progressive media, and all over the Internet about what's been going on Capitol Hill the past several days in relation to impeachment and Chairman John Conyers, who chairs the House Judiciary Committee. And I guess the first I learned about this new fast was after you, Leslie, went and staged a very short sit-in in the chairman's office. When was that, and can you tell us what happened?
Yes, that was February 4th. And it was Rosa Parks' birthday, and I thought that was a great day to start a fast. She was an amazing woman and someone that John Conyers admired greatly. And she also worked for him for over 20 years. So in honor of Rosa Parks' one woman stand, I decided that I would start the fast then. And I went into his office.
This was 8 days ago.
Yes.
Last Monday, 8 days ago.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So I went into his office, and I said that I was wanting an appointment, and the scheduler recognized me. We had met a couple times about in December, and so she said, well, we could see what we can do, and I said, well, I just want to let you know I'm on a fast. I'm not eating until I get an appointment, and I also wanted to sit in the office. And so she went into the back room, and about 5 minutes later she came out and said I could have an appointment the next day, and then she called, and it was postponed till Thursday, which was postponed till today, which is postponed till tomorrow.
And what? Did you give a topic for the meeting? Did the congressman know what you wanted to meet with him about?
Well, I told him back in December. I had said that I really wanted to talk with him about, you know, my father and the civil rights movement and Conyers' work, and I also wanted to talk about impeachment. And so, this last week when I went in, I said I'd like to talk about my father, but the main reason I'm coming in is I'm really concerned and I want to talk to him about impeachment hearings against Dick Cheney.
And so he did agree to a meeting on that topic. It's just not happened yet.
I'm told that he will do it tomorrow, so keep your fingers crossed.
Good. Do you know what time?
Yes, 5 o'clock tomorrow.
5 o'clock tomorrow, you should be meeting with him. Well, we will watch for news. And so on Thursday, when the sort of second appointment to get this meeting to happen, the reason he couldn't meet with you was the duration of the hearing at which Attorney General Michael Mukasey testified. Is that right?
Yes.
And
so as soon as I found out that was the reason, I went down to the hearing and I caught the tail end, but Ellen and Monashe were both in the hearing for the entire hearing and listened to his whole testimony. And it's pretty horrifying who we have as an attorney general right now.
And Ellen was threatened with removal from that hearing, but ultimately wasn't removed and instead got a meeting with the congressman along with Monashe. Ellen, can you tell us tell us who Monashe is and tell us what happened in this hearing?
Actually, Monashe is here, so we could just kind of make sure that she's included in the conversation.
Yeah, terrific.
Hi, this is Monashe.
Monashe, why don't you tell us your full name and introduce yourself the way that Ellen and Leslie have.
My name is Manije, Manijeh. The last name is Sabah, Saba. I was born in Iran 61 years ago, and I've been living in the United States for the past 30 years. I'm very active all along. I came here to go to graduate school, and I've been pretty active, but on impeachment particularly since the Iraq War, I've been talking and working on impeachment. I've worked with different individually, but also with groups. We have worked on impeachment for a number of years with different groups of people. We dropped banners on impeachment in the Senate Hart building. We dropped other banners. One was articles of impeachment. The other one was on war torture and fights that we had done and continue to do that.
Well, I want to get into what the issues are and what motivates all of you to want impeachment, but first I just want to give people an overview of what's happened the past few days. And so if Ellen or Monashe or both of you, could you describe what went on in the hearing on Thursday?
Well, it of course was a very important hearing for us to attend. The week previous we had been at the Senate hearing that was chaired by Senator Leahy, and at that hearing we wore our orange jumpsuits and we held signs saying, you know, stop torture and waterboarding, and bringing up some of the issues that we wanted the senators to be questioning the Attorney General on, and we thought that that was effective in terms of drawing attention to what those issues were. At the House hearing, we know through experience that Senator Conyers Congressman Conyers likes a little bit more, Chairman Conyers actually, likes a little bit more decorum in his office, and so we didn't even bring the jumpsuits. What we brought were just little orange vests that said no torture. But once we arrived at the hearing room and sat down, the staffer for the committee asked us to remove, for example, Montagé had an Arrest of Bush sweatshirt on. She was asked to remove that, and she did. We were asked to remove our vest that said no torture.
We have a Bill of Rights that bans torture. We have international law and U.S. law that ban torture, and you can't sit in an office of our government.
We were told that this was these were positions, and that positions were not allowed in the room. So at the next recess, I actually went over to the staffer and argued exactly what you said, that no torture is actually law of the land. It really isn't a position. It's what we had agreed to in terms of the Geneva Convention, and we didn't see a problem with it. She then said that certain members of the committee would see our vests, they would get very upset, they would probably make remarks and problems for the chairman, and so it would just be in everyone's interest in terms of the progress of the hearing if we complied with her request. So having gotten her side of the story, I understood that vests could be disruptive, and so we can respect that. However, we also had our T-shirts on that had Article 2, Section 4
of the
Constitution, which, you know...
Which says that the president, the vice president,
yeah,
or any civil officer...
Right. Article 2, Section 4 says the president, vice president, and all officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors.
Right.
And actually, originally when we went, I had this sweater which has a Arrest Bush in the front of it and has back of it that article of impeachment. And the chief clerk of the Judiciary Committee came with her assistant and said, you cannot wear this, and she was pointing finger at me saying that you cannot wear this, you have to take this off. And I said, I had taken actually the sweater off and my dad's T-shirt the same way. And she said, and I said, why? Why do you have to take this off? She said, because it's disturbing. I said, it's not disturbing that they're killing people, it's disturbing to talk to, say, arrest the criminals. And then I took it, I said, fine. I took it off, and then Ellen came in with the jumpsuit.
So,
as I said,
at that point, I actually asked her about the text of the Constitution, and I said, all right, we understand the problems with, you know, the vest, but what about the text of the Constitution? And they refused to give us a straight answer, and so the hearing resumed, and at that point we resumed our seats. They came over to us subsequently, and then told us that we could not display the text of the Constitution in the hearing room, and said, once again, to either take off the shirts, cover them up, or that we would be removed. And at that point, I said, I think this is where I think you're being arbitrary. If this were a consumer matter, I would ask to talk to your supervisor on this one. So tell me who your supervisor is. And she said, well, that would be Chairman Conyers. And so I said, well, we've been trying to talk to Chairman Conyers for weeks now and haven't gotten through. So, what do you suggest we do? And she said, I will call the congressman. And so I looked at Montagé,
she said, I'm going to make an appointment. Actually, before that, we questioned her about who has made this decision according to what ruling. And she said, me. And I said to her, who are you? Who are you to make such rulings that we lose our freedom of speech and expression?
So at the end of the hearing, and we actually did continue to display our shirts at the hearing, and actually through the hearing, people sat next to Montagé
actually
threatened her with removal.
In one of the breaks, her assistant came to me and said, you have to remove your Constitution. And I said, this is a line that I'm not going to cross.
You have to remove the Constitution.
Because I had on display the article of impeachment on my on my chest. I'm sitting in the room, and it was in full view. And on the break, he came to me and said, you know, you have to take this off. This is against our rule, and you need to take. I said, no, this is a line that I'm not going to cross, and I don't allow anybody to tell me that the Constitution, I cannot sit with the Constitution in a judiciary committee of all places in this country. And then he said, we have to remove you by force, and but I don't want to do that. You know, we agree with you, position and all that. I said, I don't care. You can remove me if you want, wish to. And he said, he insisted, then he left. But they didn't remove me. After the gavel started, they allowed us to go. And at the end, after this was finished, you know, the hearing finished, immediately the woman came and said, pointed finger at both of us and said, you, only two of you, you and only two of you, you are going to go for 5 o'clock appointment with Congressman Conyers. And we were elated. And I said, oh, my God, I've been trying to make an appointment with you for the last month. Thank you for the meeting.
Right.
And meeting
okay,
was turned
into
impeachment.
So let's jump ahead. Excuse me one second. Let's jump ahead to this meeting, because, I mean, first of all, what's incredible about what you've just described is that this is a hearing packed with reporters who, for the most part, fail to report that the Attorney General is announcing that he won't investigate spying or torture, that he will consider his department's opinions to grant immunity to criminals, that he will not enforce contempt citations. I mean, this is incredible. But then to have citizens of the United States in the room being told, being threatened with removal for wearing a section of the Constitution on their shirt ought to be an enormous headline, and I certainly haven't seen it. But the outcome is that you get a meeting with Congressman Conyers, which a lot of people who've asked politely and asked aggressively have not gotten. And you go into a room with him for over an hour and talk about impeachment. Did you get the impression in this meeting that he's jerking you around, or that he's seriously interested in considering the possibility?
My personal impression was that he's under pressure from he didn't say this is my impression, that he's under pressure, and the worry, at least the worry that was expressed by him, is election, to which we really seriously pointed a number of things that is going actually to help the election rather than hurt the election, but that was beside the point. And I said what I have all along been saying, that Constitution of the United States is not negotiable. It's not maybe if we would like it, if it works for us, if it's beneficial to my party or this. This is not negotiable. It has to be applied, and the article says shall. It doesn't say maybe, should, possibly, probably, says shall. And these people have made committed a lot of crimes. And particularly, I told Chair Conyers, I said, you introduced a resolution to start investigation long before you became the chair. And now you are here and you are not doing anything about it. And he said, you know, we are working on these things. We are bringing McKenzie in, and we are getting him to meetings, and we are going to investigate and have more meetings. And we said, so what? What have you got out of it? What type of recourse you have? You just told you everything that he told you. You ask all of this great question, and he said, I'm not going to do them. You know, torture, I'm going to, you know.
I think that though he did kind of shoot that line back at us, he acknowledged that the Constitution is non-negotiable. And he said, you know, it's the most powerful act that they can commit. What he did express, as Manajay said, was his fears about what the potential outcome might be. And he was talking about worst-case scenarios, the fact that the potential ramifications of such an action haven't really been examined yet, that it could blow up in our face and have the opposite effect. I think that he also, and this is towards the end of the meeting, was really concerned about issues such as voter fraud. He said, you know, if this takes our attention away from some other very serious issues that we could and should be investigating, like voter fraud, you know, what implications, once again, does that have for the future election? So I think that once again they're very focused on what's going to be happening in November. They're very wary of what the potential ramifications are. But I think they're also, and this is where the hope comes in for me, they also realize Constitution is a non-negotiable. And in our conversations, he would do these little, like I call it, little tantalizing teasers where he'd go, well, you know, are we seriously considering something like this? You know, a rhetorical question. Or he'd say something, well, what if, you know, these two women at the table, you know, kind of, and he would lean over in his chair and say, you know, push me over the edge towards impeachment, you know, what would happen then? They were just little, like, tantalizing little, you know, I think teasing remarks, but I'm just an optimistic person. I think that in our conversations, we really tried to remind him of his role 2 years ago when he did the basement hearings. He's very cognizant, more so than I am, of the malfeasance and criminal acts of the current administration. He himself called them an imperial presidency in our conversation. So, we talked about this as being the start of a real dialogue. He said that he did want to hear from people on the issue. And I think more importantly, we talked about Congressman Wexler's letter and his attempts to get the chairman to consider starting impeachment hearings. And Congressman Wexler's letter is going to be delivered on Friday. So I think that as many congressmen as can sign on to that letter, as many of your listeners will call their congresspersons to get their congressional representatives to sign on to that letter, I think that's a very important step.
Now, Congressman Wexler is promoting the idea of opening impeachment hearings about Vice President Dick Cheney, and he's not, he's not saying impeachment or removal from office. He's saying impeachment hearings and see where they go, but he's only talking about Dick Cheney. Whereas some of the replies that I keep hearing secondhand from Chairman Conyers seem to give the impression that he's thinking about Cheney and Bush together, and
it's not clear to me that he's ever
stopped and considered, you know, we might actually investigate impeaching Dick Cheney and not even think about Bush, at least for now. What impression did you get?
Sorry, that's why I did kind of bring up Congressman Wexler's letter, because it does focus on the vice president. And actually, in our conversation, when we was talking about how the Constitution is non-negotiable, he actually said, you know, what might happen if the two top executives were removed, you know. Would we actually get in place another Bush enabler? So I think that part of his fear actually stems from, as you say, kind of lumping that whole, you know, Bush and Cheney together. Whereas I think that, quite rightly, if we keep the focus on the vice president, that movement may have a little bit more coherence with what he is actually trying to achieve, which is accountability in the White House.
We're going to have to take a quick break here in the middle of this one-hour program, but I do think that the response for Congressman Conyers is not that we would have some new bad replacement, but that we would have a president or vice president who knew that they could be impeached next and that there was a rule of law again. But this is David Swanson at the PeopleSpeakRadio.net, and I am speaking with Ellen Taylor and Mana J. Saba and Leslie Angeline, who we will be talking to when we come back, about what's happened in the past couple of days and the meeting she's looking forward to tomorrow with Chairman Conyers. If you want to call in after the break with your questions, you can do so in the United States toll-free at 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. Or worldwide, toll-free, 877-270-8714. That's 877-270-8714. We'll be back after a bit.
invite you to a new International Politics Lobby 8, a chat room on Paltalk, the world's largest online community with over 4 million users. Talk or text to people from all over the world. Participate in discussion and debate about politics and other issues. Or just sit back and watch and listen. Open 24/7, a new International Politics Lobby 8 in the Social Issues Politics category on Paltalk.
More than 1 million children are forced into prostitution every year because of sex tourism. Morocco has become a favorite destination. The economic difficulties contribute to the alarming growth of this industry. SOS Morocco's mission is to let the world know that it's against the law, a human and moral crime, to travel to Morocco with the intent to engage in sexual activity with a child. Please visit SOSMorocco.org for more information and to support our endeavors.
This land is yours.
Join us on the People Speak Radio Show every Tuesday, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, for an hour of live interview and audience interaction with guests from the realms of science, spirituality, activism, politics, literature, healing, entertainment, and education. Make a difference for the better. That's the People Speak, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, on the BBS Radio Network.
Maybe you and me.
And we are back at the People Speak Radio. This is David Swanson, and we have three guests with us here this evening, Manashe Saba, Ellen Taylor, and Leslie Angeline, all of whom have become active in Washington, D.C. on the issue of impeachment hearings with Code Pink Women for Peace. And we were talking before the break about a meeting that Ellen and Manashe had with Chairman John Conyers of the House Judiciary Committee on Thursday evening. And the expectation was that Leslie would be meeting with the congressman today. And, in fact, that was postponed until tomorrow. But in anticipation of Leslie's meeting, all sorts of organizations asked people around the country to phone Congressman Conyers' office yesterday and today. And by all reports, the phones have been ringing off the hook. Leslie, what have you been hearing in Washington?
Yes, I've heard the same, that they have been ringing, and actually I read one report that the staffers are actually grateful that the activists are mobilizing. So please make calls and be encouraging. Say, tell the congressman that we'll support him, we'll watch his back, the people are behind him. You know, 70% of Democrats want Cheney to have impeachment hearings. So we just need to encourage him to have the courage to do that.
The other thing that seems to be growing and gaining interest and energy is the FAST. To your knowledge, Leslie, how many people have joined in fasting for impeachment hearings?
As far as I know, as of this morning, I haven't been able to get online yet today, tonight, but I'll look at my emails. But as of this morning, there were 34.
Wow. And I've certainly heard of several in the past few hours joining in, and I wanted to mention Betty Hall. Do you know who Betty Hall is?
Yes. Actually, Susan Serpa called me and told me about Betty Hall, and I was really quite shocked and amazed at her story. Do you know the story, David?
Well, Betty is 87 years old and is a state representative in New Hampshire who, in a week or so, will be bringing up for a hearing a resolution to urge Congress on impeachment, something that's been passed in the Vermont Senate and been taken up in 10 or 11 different state legislatures. But Susan, in fact, sent me just 2 minutes before we started this show a comment that Betty had made that just floored me, and it was this: I've had a good life. I can't think of a better way to end it.
Yes, that's what Susan told me, that she called me just a few minutes before we got on the phone and said that Betty has made a commitment to impeach, to fast until impeachment hearings begin, and if that means that she ends her life that way, there's no better way to do it. And I said, well, I don't want anyone to die over this fasting. And she said, no, she's made up her mind, and I know Betty, when she makes up her mind, she's very stubborn. She is going to fast as long as it takes, and if that means... And I was, of course, brought to tears with someone being that committed, and I'm quite honored to have her join us in the fast, and hopefully it won't lead to that. It will convince the Conyers way before that ever occurs.
It's incredible. We're starting to have callers phone in, and I don't want to dominate the discussion. I want to bring some people in, and then get back to talking about your upcoming meeting tomorrow. But Steve is on the line from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Let's go to Steve. You're on the People Speak Radio.
Well, thank you, David. Thank you. And before I start, I'd like to thank all of you for your great patriotism and the things that you're doing to, and humanity, I think, more so in striving for this. I only called up to ask a question that's in the chat room that I'm in right now, and it's kind of divergent from the topic, but at the same time I think important to most of us, is are you willing to say who you would support in the next presidential race to help us get what you want, which we all do? And again, thank you. I'll listen online.
Thanks for calling, Steve. Do you each want to give a short answer or decline?
Well, personally, myself, I'm haven't decided. I'm still waiting to see. But my focus right now is to begin the impeachment hearings so that when the new president comes in, they will not be inheriting these sort of abuses and be tempted to continue the abuses. I want them to start with a clean slate, and so I want impeachment hearings so that we can have the Constitution as it was written back in order.
Good point. Manashe?
I am coming from New Jersey. The New Jersey is safe, and the Republican would not get the vote. So I would rather the Obama becomes the candidate. But I, in the election, I would vote green. So, but also, you know, and I'm with Leslie. We need to have the impeachment to set the parameter upon which the next presidents and presidents after that, Republican or Democrat, can be held accountable and limit their power. Otherwise, we would have a monarchy that we don't need.
Exactly. Ellen, what do you think?
I actually haven't sent my absentee ballot in yet, but I actually vote in the Texas primary. And for me, as a feminist, it would be really great to have a woman as president, but it's also very important to me to have the right woman be president. So I listen to what Hillary's saying, and it doesn't ring very true to me. And I want a compassionate president who speaks the truth.
Well,
we really need a change.
I think that's all well said, and I certainly share Leslie and all of yours belief that there are more important things right now and for the next 10 months than the upcoming election, including establishing that whoever gets elected will be a president rather than a king or a queen. And I think it's unfair to anyone who really cares about peace or justice to insist that they decide now who to vote for in November. I think there will be excellent third-party choices, but at the moment, you know, I voted for Obama this morning, and I would encourage anyone else to do so. The Republican nominee has been chosen. There are no third-party primaries in most states, and bad as Obama is on the issues I care about, Hillary's worse. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening with Congressman Conyers. Leslie, what are your expectations for a meeting tomorrow, and do you think that all of the attention, there's starting to be some media stories about the phones ringing off the hook for 2 days, is this going to help or antagonize and hurt the goal?
No, my impression when Ellen and Monarchet came back was that the congressman wants support. He wants to feel, he wants a huge movement to support him so that he can say to Nancy Pelosi, the people want impeachment. I can't refuse them any longer. And that's what I'm hoping to tell him tomorrow, is that it's really important to do this, and you will be supported. And back in the 60s, when my father was a freedom rider, Kennedy didn't want them to take the buses down to the South. There was the Cuban Missile Crisis. He didn't want the bad publicity that, you know, here we are, we're supposed to be this incredibly democratic, equal rights sort of country, and yet the African American people are not treated the same, and he didn't want that kind of media out there. So he wasn't supportive of the freedom rides, and he told them to be patient, and they said, no, we've been patient for hundreds of years. We can't be patient any longer. And I want him to remind Conyers that this, we can't be patient anymore. We can't wait for the next election, because then we will have slipped into possibly a fascist system. We need to uphold the Constitution now. He needs to do the right thing, as Martin Luther King did, as Rosa Parks did, as my father did. And it didn't matter what, you had to have the courage, and then what happened wasn't something that you worried about. I mean, my father knew that he was going into the South and it was going to be very dangerous, but what was most important to him was that he was fighting for justice. And we need to stand up for justice.
If anything
gets through, put your body on the line. Huh?
If anything gets through to Congressman Conyers, I think it is going to be that kind of argument. I want to remind people the numbers they can call in to join this conversation. You can call in from the United States toll-free, 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. Or anywhere in the world, toll-free, 877-270-8714. That's 877-270-8714. And while we're at it, maybe we ought to give out the phone numbers and fax numbers and email addresses you can use to contact John Conyers. Would anybody like to do that? I can find them.
Yes, I could do that for you. I have it right here.
Great, Leslie.
The Conyers office number is 202-225-3951.
No, it's 225-5126. This is direct line.
In fact, both of those are right. The first one is
judiciary's, judiciary's number.
Yes. In fact, he has a committee office, the House Judiciary Committee office for that staff, and he has his own congressional district office on Capitol Hill. And so they're both 202-225. One of them is 5126, and the other is 3951. In fact, you can go to impeachcheney.org if you forget the numbers and find them. I know there are going to be some stories about all of this activism and push for impeachment in some newspapers tomorrow. I haven't seen yet what they'll look like, but there was a little blurb today in the Politico, which is a Capitol Hill newspaper, in which the reporter, a young man who's apparently been assigned to cover the peace movement and the impeachment movement in the way that they do, sort of dismissed the whole idea with a quick quote from Conyers' office saying, in effect, there will be no impeachment hearings. And I'm wondering, there will, of course, be activists who will look at that and say, oh, well, if he says there won't be impeachment hearings, then there won't be. We should go work on some other worthy project or watch TV. What would you say to keep people involved, or do you think it is wise to keep pushing for something he says he won't do?
Actually, one of the ways, not only to call Conyers, but also we have the whole list of representatives who are member of the judiciary, 8 of them, and actually we listed them when we were talking with Conyers, and he said, I know them. But I said, okay, you know that they are growing the number, and we need to grow the number of representatives in the judiciary committee that are going to sign the letters, Wexler's letter, and we can give those people's names for people to call. We can give their names, and people they can find their numbers to call them, especially Nadler. Nadler is one of the most difficult ones on the Judiciary Committee, the House Judiciary Committee. But the other thing that we talked about, we reminded Conyers about Watergate and what happened to Nixon. And the fact that Watergate process, the whole process, without any precedent, took less than 6 months. And many people, including Center for Constitutional Rights people, who have looked into this, they say it takes much shorter time. And it's going to be very effective, especially for this upcoming election. One thing that I reminded him, if you, David, yourself remember, Republicans have already started attacking Obama. If you remember in the Judiciary Committee that day, on last Thursday, Sensenbrenner and Gohmert, both of them, said, oh, Obama responded to Tim Russert that he would, if there is an imminent danger, he's going to authorize torture. And Obama has said, I have to look at the case. I said, so Obama, basically they said Obama thinks the same way as Bush and also Mukasey. And I told him, I said, you see what is going to happen, especially for Obama, to come out and be used like that. They are attacking him already. He can come with the impeachment. He says, I am a constitutional scholar. I have been a professor of constitution, and I am not going to go beyond the laws of this country. I uphold the laws, and I would not ask for expansion of my power if I become president. And all of these young people and people who are supporting him, mostly for on principle and for better future for United States, are going to be more mobilized than they are now. So it's going to be very supportive. So,
Manajay Sabha, I think this is the key point. We have a caller on the line that I'd like to bring in,
sure.
But I think this is the key here. If the current president had been impeached or were threatened with impeachment for torture, I think candidate Obama's response would immediately be, I will not torture. And
yes.
So this is
actually,
what it's about. But
I wrote a letter to Obama on this case issue itself. That
good.
You that this has been raised in the judiciary to the point that you might have heard about this, but this was raised on Judiciary Committee. They are already aligning you with George Bush, and it's time for you to come out on principle and talk about this and say that you are not going to ask for expansion of power at all, and you are going to be upholding the Constitution.
Very good. Let's bring a caller in on this discussion. We have Rain from Richmond, Virginia, not too far down the road from me. Rain, you're on the People Speak Radio.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Women, thank you so much for what you're doing, and I also probably have to thank the men that may be helping you do what you do as well. I'm not getting that support, but I wanted to talk about my congressman, Bobby Scott. He's on the Judiciary Committee. We have been outside of his office every Friday for the last 6 months. We've been asking for a meeting. We've written letters. We have gotten no response. And now they're rotating staff so that every time we go there on a Friday, we do our honk to impeach, and then we go up to the office, and there's a new face. It's like, oh, hi, who are you? Well, I'm so-and-so. I'm a case person. I don't know anything about the issues, so don't even ask me about them. And this has been like going on for the last couple of months. I just cannot believe that our representative will not meet with us, will not respond to letters. So if you're in Virginia, Bobby Scott is actually, I have been advised by others not to go after him at this Richmond Crusade for Voters meeting that he's going to be speaking on February 19th, next Tuesday, at the Military Retiree Club on Chamberlain Avenue. But I would like a presence there, not to just, distract from very important issues, elections and voters' rights and so forth, but if he won't see us, then maybe we should see him in a public forum. So that's where I'll rest it. And thank you again.
Thanks, Rain.
Thank you.
Ellen, Leslie, Monashe, what possibly could a group of excellent activists willing to sacrifice for this cause from Washington, D.C. possibly do to help out this group that I know has been struggling in Richmond, Virginia? Bobby Scott seems like one of the more likely Judiciary Committee members who's not yet on board to get on board.
Actually, from D.C., we can go to his office. And we can go to his office and do some, maybe do a small sit-in or remind him that we are fasting and doing things in his office here. And also people in Virginia, actually one of the strategies for now these days has been to do civil resistance, to go and sit in his office and say, we are not going to go until you do. But we can also have very solid arguments, like the arguments, and also Conyers are looking for those solid analysis and argument in support of their election, because these guys are politicians and they care about their privileges that they have. So people who go to their offices who have to have solid arguments for impeachment, both political analysis and a strategic analysis as well.
Well, I have to say, I and many others have had long conversations with Bobby Scott and his staff, and he knows all the arguments. It's the pressure, it's the media, it's the public resistance that will do it, if anything will. But the arguments are there at impeachcheney.org. We have about 3 minutes left. I appreciate having all three of you on this show. If you could maybe each, in a minute, sum up what you think people can do to help and where you think this is going in the coming days. Ellen, you want to go first?
Whoa. Okay, first, I am so blown away being here in Washington at the degree to which people can actually participate in our democracy. And others have put out the call. The Code Pink Alert says, call, write facts, all of that's important. But people who can't get to Washington, go to the district offices of your congressional delegations, okay?
And they'll be home next week, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
And they'll be home next week, okay?
Monday next week.
And bring delegations. Okay, bring people to those offices, call the schedule, set up appointments. If they refuse to see you, just show up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So many times we just show up, and either we may catch the Congress person at the right time, or today we did a round of visits and we talked to three chiefs of staff. So just by being there. And this works in Washington. It also works in district offices. So
okay, two minutes.
Right. Monashe. I agree with Ellen about, for us who are in Washington, to go to their offices and to go to, especially Conyers' office, put pressure on him, and all of these other ones. But in home offices, as you also reminded us, that next Monday, the next week they are going to be home, and we need to go to their offices with bodies. We need people to go, and as Ellen said, most probably we don't get immediate appointments, but we can just walk into their offices and say, we are going to sit in, and you make an argument, and until you are going to sign the letter. We need to have constant pressure. Particularly faxes, I think, are very important at this point. Faxes are very important because jams their, fax machines if more and more people fax them.
Let's do it. 1 minute left. Leslie, what do you say?
I would say if people can fast, if only for one day, and
sign up on your webpage or on the Code Pink webpage that there are faster, then I plan on going in tomorrow and saying how many people have joined the fast at this point, and I think the numbers, you know, as they grow are very impressive. If you can't fast, call, you know, every day, call Congressman Conyers and just ask him, and do it in a way that would be encouraging. Say, you know, we'll support you, do the right thing, and make it part of your daily ritual.
Wonderful. We will make sure that that fasting page link is at the top of impeachcheney.org, and you can also print out materials there to take with you to your congressmember's office next week when you follow these brave activists' advice and go in person. We are
David,
out of time, I'm sorry to
David,
say.
David, can I just give the Code Pink website, which is www.codepinkalert.org?
CodePinkAlert.org, and I will put that link on the Impeach Cheney website as well. And I want to thank Leslie Angeline and Manashe Saba and Ellen Taylor for your time this evening. This has been David Swanson at the People Speak Radio, and tomorrow evening, same hour, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, I will be interviewing Dave Meserve, who is a former city council member in Arcata, California, who has drafted a resolution that would prevent the U.S. military from recruiting any young men and women under the age of 18. Should be a very interesting conversation. The PeopleSpeakRadio.net, this is David Swanson, here with you again tomorrow night.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the sea by the relief of the I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.
This is Bill Tiller of Tiller.org. You're listening to BBSRadio.com. Don't forget to tune in to The Infinite Consciousness with Eva Herr every Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Enjoy.